The rest of the councillors have decided not to join us, so we're going to continue on because I have to go away at 6:45 to an event, and Councillor Clark will take over at that stage. We have a number of apologies. We have Councillors Bailey, Hart, Kimmins, Loughran, Stoke, Tinley and Traynor. Are there any other apologies?
Devlin.
Councillor Devlin. And, oh, Councillor Ruan. No, Pete Farn. Okay. We'll have Kate Loughran. Okay. Michael Carr's outside. We'll have Councillor Tinley already. Okay. Have we any declarations of interest? No. Okay. Well, as you are aware, we're here for our meeting with Road Service, and there is a presentation there, which is, I think Simon is here. Are you doing the presentation, Simon? Do you want to do a little bit of an introduction, just in case any of the councillors haven't had an opportunity to speak directly to you? That's okay. He's way ahead of me. All right, Simon. Thank you for your time today. I know it has been a bit of a long day for you, but we appreciate that. And Simon, I'm just going to hand over to you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity to present the DFI Roads Annual Report for Newry, Moreland, Down Council Area. I'm accompanied tonight by Stephen Duffy and Ian Campbell, who are the section engineers for the area. Stephen is based in Castlenavon and Ian is based in Newry. Some of you will have met Stephen and Ian today, along with some of my other colleagues at the DEA clinics, which I hope you found useful. I hope you all have received a copy of the annual report, which details the work we completed last year in 2017-18 and includes our draft programme of work to be undertaken this year in 2018-19. I usually start these presentations by touching on finance, financial positions in the department, and I do intend to do that, but this year, however, I want to start by discussing the winter we've just endured. The last winter was one of the most severe in recent years, and the department spread almost 117,000 tonnes of salt on the road network. That's more than double the amount spread in recent years. So first off, I would like to thank all DFI staff who were involved in providing our winter maintenance service across the three council areas that make up Southern Division, which I manage. Our winter service is a huge operation during any winter, but this year the level of service required was exceptional, and the impact on staff resources was a significant added pressure, which affected other routine business. Particularly during prolonged periods of wintry weather, staff were working around the clock to keep roads passable and as safe as possible for the travelling public. During these periods, all available maintenance staff were obviously deployed to winter service activities, including primary gridding, secondary gridding, refilling of salt boxes and replenishing of grit piles. Given that we have 1,700 salt boxes and 16,000 grit piles across the division, this in itself is a huge exercise just to constantly refill and replenish. And one of the key factors to remember that was that it was this division that took the brunt of the severe weather. Most of the severe weather occurrences happened in the southeast of the province, so Southern Division, particularly this part of the division, was particularly badly hit. And on top of the increased operational demands on staff and resources, it is clear that the severe winter has had a significant detrimental impact on the road network. You will all have noticed the increased number of potholes across the network that have appeared over the winter months. This is a combination of the numerous freeze thaw events during the winter and the reduced level of funding for road maintenance over recent years. The department does understand the implications of the limited maintenance service and the impact on the network. Accordingly, the department is increasing its investments in both resurfacing activities, which is capital funding, and routine maintenance, which is resource funding, in 2018-19. The department's resource budget is only a slight increase on last year, so there remains a significant reliance on in-year funding to deliver core services, such as routine maintenance. The department's total 2018-19 capital budget is some £500 million, including the confidence and supply funding. Of this £500 million, Roads structural maintenance capital budget for the four divisions is £75 million. When you compare that to an opening figure last year of £25 million, we start the year in a much better position on the capital side. Of the 75 million, 15 million has been set aside for what we are calling a roads recovery fund across the four roads divisions. This will be used to repair the roads that have been most badly affected by potholes during the last winter. Locations which have a large number of potholes may receive short lengths of resurfacing rather than individual pothole repair. This will add more structural integrity to these sections of road. This 15 million is very welcome and will help us address some of the surface defect issues we face. The remainder of the 75 million will be used to kick off an early programme of resurfacing schemes so more schemes can be completed on a steady programme during the summer and autumn months when the days are longer and the weather is hopefully a bit better. However, we do have to realise that there's only so much we can do during the summer months when traffic is lighter. While we would like to do as much as possible during the holidays, there is a limit to contractor resources, so it is not possible to satisfy all requests for summer programming. In relation to routine maintenance, the slightly increased resource budget will allow us to provide a slightly higher level of service than we did last year. For potholes, the highest priority defects will continue to be fixed across the entire road network. Last year, we depended totally on our in-house contractor to carry out pothole repairs, as we did not have funding to employ external contractors. As a result, we were limited to picking up only those potholes that were more than 4 inches deep on our low-traffic rural roads. This year, the service will be enhanced to repair all defects that are greater than 2 inches deep, or 50 mil, across all roads, including low-traffic rural roads. We've also secured funding to employ external contractors to help us support our in-house staff carrying out pothole repairs, and that's significant for us. For street lighting, electrical and safety inspections will continue as normal, and the department will be providing a full service of outage repairs. The recent provision of LED lighting means that lighting will last longer and outages should be reduced in these areas. We propose to continue to roll out a programme of LED replacement to help reduce the number of outages. In relation to gully cleaning, all gullies will be cleaned at least once during the year, with additional cleaning at known problem areas. And there will be a full weed spraying service this year, and contractors have been employed to provide this service across the district. As for grass cutting, we have secured funding to provide 2 cuts across the network, both rural and urban, which, as you know from last year, we started off with 1. And for us, even though it's only up to 2 cuts, it's a significant increase for us. Sight lines will be cut more often as and when required. I'm delighted to say that traffic signal maintenance will continue at current levels to ensure public safety and limit periods of disruption to road users. Now onto the report itself. Starting with our strategic road improvements, on pages 8 and 9, details the 2 main projects we have, which are the Ballinahinch Bypass and the Murray Southern Relief Road. For Ballinahinch, we are working on the economic business case this year for Department of Finance approval, which will then allow us to proceed to prepare the contract documents in preparation for procurement, subject to finances being available. We cannot go to procurement and construction without the necessary funding being available, and unfortunately no commitment of funding for construction has been made available in the 1 year budget set aside for 18-19. We do have money to continue to develop the business plan, but no commitment for funding for construction. In relation to Newry Stone Relief Road, we are consulting on the red, yellow and blue route corridor options with a view to recommending a preferred corridor and a route alignment within that corridor by the end of the summer. You'll be aware that the Department secured EU funding for the development of the scheme, and this is very welcome. Progress of the scheme is subject to the approval of the business case, and again, clearing the statutory procedures and funding being made available. Just at this point, I'd like to go offline a little bit. I'd like to give you some information on work we have completed on the A1 dual carriageway between Banbridge and Lochbricklin, and I do realise that this is not in this council area. However, it is on the main A1, and it's a key road linking the Newry area of this district. In March this year, we completed £500,000 worth of central safety barrier, which closed up the central reserve along the length of the A1 from Banbridge to Lochbricklin. This means that right turn manoeuvres across the carriageway cannot now take place. This is a significant safety improvement on this very busy stretch of road. Also, any vehicle that may lose control should be contained within the side of the carriageway on which it is travelling and should not cross the central reserve onto oncoming traffic, thus reducing the risk of head-on collisions. We are developing continue to develop the main A1 junction project, which will provide 4 additional flyover junctions to allow the full length of the Central Reserve to be closed up between Hillsborough and Loughbricklin. This will provide major safety improvements for road users on this key strategic route. On page 11 starts our network maintenance work, and pages 15 to 23 detail the work we completed last year. Significant schemes include the A2 Warren Point Dual Carriageway, A28 Downshire Road Newry, A50 Ballyward Road Castle Well, A21 Ballygarren Road Sainfield, A22 Cumber Road Killyday, Strangford Road Downpatrick, Newcastle Road Ballymartin, Hospital Road Newry, Newtown Road Camera, and Sturgeon's Bray in Camera as well. Pages 25 to 28 detail the scheme we plan to progress this year. Those include Concession Road in Colville, Upper Tremor Road in Burn, Rooney Road Kilkeel, Hardlass Road Downpatrick, and even Darragh Road, Ballinahinch. Could I just say, at the time of going to print with this report, we were unable to confirm the progress of a couple of schemes which we were working on. So tonight I'm delighted to inform you that we can add the following schemes to our programme. We intend to complete a 1 kilometre resurfacing scheme on Seaview Warren Point and a 1.3 kilometre resurfacing scheme on Dundalk Street in Newton Hamilton. So those are two, sorry, we just didn't have those confirmed when we were printing the report, so I thought I'd bring that to you tonight. Page 29 starts the development work, and pages 31 to 46 details the work we completed last year. A significant scheme on the B8 was at Hilltown Road, Eden Trumley Road, Ballydoo Junction. Significant road realignment and forward visibility. Significant earthworks required at that scheme. Fountain Street down Patrick, widening and traffic calming. With a footway scheme, A22 Killyday Road and Downpatrick. We've provided 2 new pedestrian crossings, one in Dundrum and one in Hilltown. An extension to the park and share at the A1 and Sheepbridge. And I'm delighted to say that the part-time 20-mile-an-hour speed limit at Clonleigh Primary School is now operational. So that's very welcome. Pages 47 to 55 details our network development programme for this year, including junction improvements Collins Corner and Downpatrick, a junction improvement at Abbey Way Boat Street in Newry, a reconfiguration of the roundabout in Newcastle at the Dundrum Castle Allen Road Junction, a new footway and Nail Bridge through the village to Baden Road, provision of a shared footway cycleway and 2 new Tooken crossings along Carnbean and Shepherd's Way in Newry. And almost there, the remainder of the report from page 56 details our network planning and street lighting work in the district. And finally, on the last page 63, we provide details on the operation of the Strangford Ferry. I'll just point out, in the overall year, 11 sailings out of over 22,000 sailings were missed because of mechanical or operational reasons. And since July of last year, we've had a 100% performance record based on that mechanical and operations. So we've had no missed sailings because of that. During the year, we have had 100 crossings which were cancelled due to adverse weather or adverse tides. But 100% performance since July last year, which I think is an exceptional undertaking on all staff involved in that. So, Chair, that concludes my presentation. And obviously, of course, happy to take questions. We're here to answer.
Okay.
Cadogan? Thank you. I'd just like to pick up a bit more information about the 20-mile-an-hour zone. Was it Drumleck School you mentioned? Yeah. It's just that for some 7 years now, we've been waiting for the results of the 20-mile-an-hour experiment in Ballinahinch, and the expectation was that we would be doing it next outside of Strangford Primary School because of the rush of traffic every half hour or every 15 minutes or so going down to the ferry. And it's been something that certainly your predecessors had very high on their list. Most recently, they said, hang on a sec, we have to do the 40-mile-an-hour zones outside rural schools first. It's just, it's very dangerous because we did lose the crossing attendant there. And you are aware of the fact we have periodic speeding through the village because of the ferry. The first thing, and the second thing, of course, is I'm just surprised that Edward Street one-way system didn't make it onto your list. Given the fact there's very little money involved and given your whelming success when it was actually tried, for a trial basis going back a few years ago. I remember at the time there were 9 objectors and there were some 300 and odd people who were in support, but the consultation at the time only for some reason took into account objectors. And the enormous improvement to the traffic in the whole area of the centre of Downpatrick resulting from the success of the one-way system was undone by simply putting it back to a two-way system again. And just, I know we mention it every single time. We praised you for trying out the experiment. We commend you on what a fantastic success it was. And then we scratch our heads as to why it actually hasn't been done, given the fact it's just a few signs, you know?
Well, certainly in relation to the 29 mile zones, I mean, the Ballinahinch scheme is a zone which is signed only, and we're working with the police on that experiment, and there have been five of those schemes across the province. The 20 mile an hour zone that I'm talking about outside the school is a temp, is a part time, so it comes on and off at school opening and closing times. We do plan to roll that out. Unfortunately, this year going forward, the schemes that we have money for to take forward aren't in this council area. But I will continue to bid for money to try and move that forward. Those 20 mile an hour zones, part-time 20 mile an hour zones, are previously successful at the schools we put them in. It's just a limit on the funding. But we will continue to assess the school that you refer to. Edward Street one-way system, the traffic systems that we've looked at in Downpatrick and we've reported on quite frequently, you know, we were looking at a short-term, medium-term, long-term solution to try in Downpatrick. Part of the report we have, we're going to improve the Collins Corner junction. And again, I think that's very important. The universal agreement that Edward Street is a complete success isn't what we're hearing. Certainly, we've had people in favour and people against. So we do have to take on board objectors, particularly some of the businesses who possibly were objecting. But it's not something we're saying no to, but it's something that we have to keep constantly under review. And I think that will be looked at in conjunction once the Collins Corner scheme is done. Then we look at that with the survey that we did in Downpatrick and our short, medium, and long term goals for working around the town.
Thank you, Simon. There's something obviously wrong with the lights, but Councillor Walker was the next person I saw, and then Councillor Quinn. So there are both red lights are on, but I'm going to go with Billy first. Billy, go ahead.
First, I'd say that, as I said to the gentlemen earlier on, I want to commend, first of all, the staff you have at Castle Hall for setting the norm and opposing that and relaying that to you as well. Thanks to you, Morgan, thanks to Stephen, Miss Steve, and Joe again out there. Anything you want, everything, will come out on site with you. We'll work with you so well. I have nothing but prayers for you. Secondly, I welcome your cover page of the schemes that you and Councillor for in LA. Excellent scheme, and I've passed on the thanks to the gentleman and the relationship. Third is, as I will speak on, is the pedestrian crossing in Killyle. Last year, when I raised it to report as a priority, it would go on to, hopefully, the priority list subject to funding. Now, I've been told the same thing that subject to funding. And I think the funding needs to be found for this before the rest of the fatality at the one time. So we're moving it down a bit so it is, and I know it does take money, but I would like to see that delivered in this financial year. Finally, I welcome the fact that the Ballinahinch bypass is shovel ready and ready to go. Now, it's up to us in partnership with yourselves to lobby for this funding. Now, I do know that the Member of Parliament is lobbying very strongly for some of the money to be released from the deal that was done, the 460 million that's coming this way in relation to the rules and the structure. I think council and this election office should be jointly lobbying as well, because when you go up the northwest, or when you go to the west of the ground, whenever you're heading up that part of the country and around that them parts of the country, you see major schemes. The east coast, down along this coast, from Ballinhead right through to Europe, is playing second fiddle. So we are getting nothing whatsoever. And that's the hinder development in this area, particularly when it comes to industry and that. People won't relocate to here or start up businesses because of their own infrastructure. Now, I think there's a big opportunity here, particularly in relation to the Ballinhead bypass, to hopefully secure the funding out of that confidence in supplying them, and that would be a start. Also, you know, further on down the Warren Point, the relief road and that there, but that's for councillors going that way to lobby for. But I hope that we can work together and try and deliver the funding for the Ballinhead bypass. The MP is working overtime and trying to get that there delivered.
Okay, Councillor Walker, thank you very much. Do you want to come in on anything, Simon, or a quick comment?
Just to say thank you. The pedestrian crossing in Killyleagh, pedestrian crossings and all our local transport and safety measures come out of our local transport and safety measures budget. Funding for that budget is extremely tight. I mean, for instance, our starting budget for that is just over £200,000 for this council area. One pedestrian crossing costs £35,000. So, and that includes junction realignments, footways, cycleways, all of that money comes out of that. So that's why we prioritise and we assess pedestrian crossings so stringently to make sure we get the highest priority ones, because there's so few that are done. And we will keep the Killyleagh one under review. The Ballinhead bypass, yes, I mean, I want to progress the Ballinhead bypass. I'm an engineer, I want to build stuff. And, you know, I would love to build the Ballinhead bypass, so we will do everything we can to bring it forward. But again, there are certain steps we can't take until we get a funding commitment to go to construction.
Thank you, Simon. Councillor Quinn, you were the next light that I saw on. Have you? Are you sure? Councillor Martin?
Yeah, thank you. Two things. I suppose one, it's disappointing to hear Councillor Walker tell us now that we have to lobby for this money. For on two occasions, he told us that this money was definitely coming from the confidence to supply deal, but I'm willing to lobby for it anyway. The other thing, I'm just back from the south of Ireland, and the one thing that struck me going into all our villages as you were driving through it is that they have these speed warning signs that are displaying the speed you're travelling at in red, and as you slow down to the speed limit, it displays it in green and flanks you. Would there be any means of getting those type of signs across the district, with bearing in mind that speed is the major killer on our roads? Thank you.
Simon, would you like to comment?
We do have a speed management partnership between ourselves and the PSNI and other organisations where we carry out speed enforcement cameras and the funding for that. I'm not aware of any proposal to bring forward the, I presume this is the variable speed signs, which actually tell you your speed, what you're doing, and then tell you to slow down. To my knowledge, there's no project to take that forward here, and I don't sit on that committee, but I can certainly take that away and ask the liaison group what their plans are. But I can try and find out. My understanding is there's no plans at this moment in time.
Okay. Councillor Murray.
Yep, thanks. I did mention some of these in the meeting that we had earlier, but I was glad to hear that there's a commitment to maybe resurface 1.3 kilometres of Dundalk Street. You said maybe Dundalk Road maybe leading into Dundalk Street. It's the same stretch, you know, it starts off at Dundalk Road but it ends up in Dundalk Street. That was going to be my biggest gripe, that it wasn't included in the list because it had been promised and promised and promised. And then I suppose the thing with the emails, whenever I find myself raising the issue, you know, it's being acknowledged that it is in need of resurfacing, that's great. But then it's normally being followed by, but it's too big of a job at the minute, and there's not enough money for it. Which then, probably the same as every other council, then you have to go back to the people and say, look, it is going to be done. You have to believe me, it is going to be done, but the money's just not there at the minute. I would hope that maybe if it's going to be included in this financial year, we might at least get out even part of it. If we could even do it in stages, you know. Well, I'll go on. I mentioned the cluster road earlier. The cluster road wouldn't be classed by anyone in here as a main road, but it's the main road for anyone who lives on the cluster road to get into Newtown, or to get on the Newry Road, or to get anywhere else. About 7 or 8 months ago, a lorry overturned on it and took away maybe a quarter of the road. It just means that school buses can't get up the road now. It's creating a bit of a huge issue for those people that live up the cluster road. I've been emailing, I've got the emails in front of me here, I've been emailing, say, every fortnight or every month to see will they come out and maybe fix it up. And there has been commitments. There's been an email here from Endemic here to say, look, we are, it's under the present management or maintenance regime, but that they need to address a slip failure, he's calling it. Like that, whenever I go back to the people on the road who aren't getting their school bus up the road and out there, it'd be very hard for me to explain why it's not being done. Because I suppose 3 or 4 years ago, whenever part of a road would collapse and you'd raise it, someone would come out, they'd patch it up again, everything would be going again. It just seems maybe it'd be very frustrating being a councillor maybe out in Slieve Gullion, that maybe you're a bit further out from where the money's being spent at times, it seems to us. I know you're probably going to shake your head at that. You're going to say it's not the case, but in Dorsey, that's the cluster road in Newtown. If somebody could just go out, take a look at it, put a sign on it, or show something that something's going to be done about it. In Dorsey, there's the Polcone Road and the Jarvis Road, two roads that have been attended to over the last year, probably from the last time we've talked here. They're just ongoing concerns that I'm getting complaints about. The Tullin of Isle Road in Cullyhanna as well, which is the road leading away from the primary school and the football club heading for Dundalk. There's just a stretch of it, which I was explaining earlier, it's like something has been scraped along it. There's a lot of anyone who's driving on it is complaining, it's bursting tyres and that sort of thing, so if someone get out and get a look at that. There's great work going on in different areas. The work that's going on in Camel at the minute with Sturgeon Bray and the Newtown Road, if anything like that was to happen in Newtown or Cullyhanna, people would be applauding. But at the minute, it's slow progress. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Murray. They were all raised with you. Have you any comments in particular you want to make? Or
just on the first one, the Dundalk Road. I'm telling you, the money has now been secured and allocated, and we're trying to program a contractor to do that, so that is confirmed. Just in relation to these guys keep priority schemes, long priority schemes, and until we get our budgets, we don't know where we draw the line. So when you get, especially if you come to us towards the end of the year and you ask us for resurfacing on a road, we will say, look, it's a fairly high priority, but we don't know where our line is in relation to what our funding allocation is, so we can't give you a commitment to tell you what we're going to do. So I understand your frustration. So rather than us come back to you and say, look, we've assessed it and you're not getting it done, we try and be positive and say, yes, it's fairly high up there, but depending on where the line's drawn, that's when we can only tell you yes, it's being done. But as I said, the budget was only set in the 8th of March. The allocations going to departments was done after that, and then down into roads. Whenever we got that, I had allocated out to these guys. These guys then brought their schemes forward. That's why this report is literally hot off the press. When we were going to press with it, Ian didn't have those two schemes confirmed, but he has now, so that's good. The other schemes, just Ian's taking a note of those and we'll have a look at them. But
okay, Councillor Hurtig.
Hi, thank you, Chair, and thanks, Simon, for your report. It certainly started off very good before you get into the detail of what's in here, I have to say, and I suppose it's all positive that there is some extra money, and that the cutting of the grass and that will take place twice, and that it certainly will be some help to the rural roads. And again, Councillor Walker, his first page of the report, I think it's a credit to the Stephen and your team. The work just carried out in this report is unbelievable. But to be honest, the same isn't happening in our area. Absolutely not happening. It's actually been the last 6 months being a councillor. Actually, and anyone, if they're honest with themselves, it's been a nightmare. Addressing people on the roads. Everywhere you went, the shop, anywhere you went, the first gripe was people on the roads. And we seem to be making no progress with it. And the fact of it is that I was fair, and always try to be fair and open-minded and everything else, but there's no area. And I travel the different areas, and I met the different councillors in the different areas. There's no area let into the rundown states that our roads just got into. That leaves us again with four of the most deprived wards in the north, and it's been to be honest, and rightly or wrongly, it's actually neglect. The area that certainly the DEA that we represent, it's been badly neglected. And I listened over the years here to saying the money's divided very evenly. When I listen to Councillor Walker and other councillors around here commending on the great work that's happening, the money's not being divided evenly. The money is not being divided evenly. As I say, it's a nightmare for me to go anywhere in my own area but the state of the roads. There was one particular road, the Crinkley Road, had an 8-inch pothole in it for 8 weeks. And regardless of the people ringing in and claiming for time, it was a begging nightmare to get someone to come out and fix it. And he knew there was cars being racked in, but still in our week, we couldn't get that fixed. And that's happening. As I talked to the councillors at a recent meeting, that's not happening anywhere else. That is only happening within our area. And to be honest, it's a shame and disgrace. I'm going to ask you, Simon, to do one thing. The concession road, all right, and you travelled that yourself, and I thank you for coming out to see you. And I want to confer when that will be done, and that road is being done from Ballinacarry Bridge to Cullerville. I see so many metres down there. But I want to ask you, Simon, for us, till we get on some sort of 11 playing field, or till we get some sort of a catch-up, And I don't mean to insult anyone on this. I would ask that you place Stephen Duffy in Newry for 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. I'm asking that you would do that for 1 year. We're just a death end here. We cry and cry and cry here. And you know, it's just absolutely getting worse. That it gets in your mind and actually would depress you every time you go out the whichever listener. And all I'm asking is that we try it, that we move Stephen Duffy and his team into the Newry section for 1 year and see can they turn it around. And I would ask you to, and I don't mean to insult anyone else, but We there's just absolutely nothing happened. We're not getting the grips with him. We're not getting there. And I'd ask very much, Simon, that you would consider that.
Okay, folks, behave yourselves there. Simon, would you like to make any comment?
Councillor Hurley, I did come down and meet you, and we did discuss a number of range of issues, and I drove around your area and did look at a number of the roads, and no, there's no doubt that the severe winter and the lack of funding has had a severe impact on the roads network in your area, and I recognise that. Well, and again, that's what I'm saying. The lack of funding going over the last 3 years, Councillor, has impacted, and I have to recognise that. What I would say to you, and one of the criticisms, I'm trying to set out the things that we have moved forward here. I did drive Concession Road, and I sat down with Ian after that meeting that we had, and one of the first things we did was secure the funding for that stretch of road.
and it will, I can confirm to you that it will be committed this year. The money is there and it will be done. In relation to one of the complaints that was high on our list was the fact that we were walking past defects that were 3, I said to you before, we're only fixing defects that were 4 inches deep in a row. One of the significant measures we've got and we've pressed out is the fact that we're going to repair defects that are over 2 inches deep. So that's a significant move forward for us. That I'm going to have to speak about Ian and Stephen here. That it's not Ian's fault that he couldn't fix potholes that were 3 inches deep last year. I realise that, and you made that point to me before. But it's not a personnel issue. It's definitely not a personnel issue. And as highly as I think of Stephen, I'm not. I feel highly about all of my staff. But the other big thing that we're doing is this £15 million roads recovery fund. And that's why it's been called a road recovery fund. We do recognise that the roads do need something done to them to move forward. And this in many cases, a lot of the roads that you pointed out to me, individual fixing of potholes is not going to do it. It does need to be targeted in a different way, and that's what this roads recovery fund is doing. So we have 3 times more capital funding for resurfacing schemes, and I'm allocating a significant portion of that to your area. We are increasing the size of the defects and the number of defects that we're going to do, and we've secured external contractors to support our internal staff to do that, and we've got this roads recovery fund. Now what I would say to you is we need to let that work itself out and see where that takes us. Well, the proper portion of it, and I've asked these guys to bring forward their schemes. It's been allocated out on a significant proportion. And what I would say to you is, the biggest proportion of the £15 million has come to my division. So from that point of view, I think I've got a fair share. And in the allocation to the areas that I think are in need of roads recovery, I'm trying to allocate as much money to those areas as I can. So from that point of view, it's we're coming at it from the 3 sides. We're trying to fix more potholes, smaller potholes, so that they don't develop into something bigger. We're trying to do short lengths where it would be silly to try and fix individual potholes, and we're trying to hold the network together by extending this £75 million to try and do as many schemes as we can. But again, what I would. The short answer is yes, I'm not be doing that, because it's not a personnel issue. It's definitely not a personnel issue. And I don't understand the question. I don't understand what you're asking.
Okay, Simon, you would debate that. We're just going to leave that here at the minute. There are other councillors at the minute. Terry, you've made your point. You've made your point, and we can have further meetings. Simon, you have said, obviously, that you don't believe that's the case. You're working through the process. Are you happy to move on?
Yeah, I'm happy to move on. I don't think the proportion of the money that I receive is being allocated as evenly in the best distribution that I can do it. And from that point of view, from the allocation of money, your area is not being neglected. from the allocation money.
Okay. Okay, we're just going to park that there. We're going to move on. Councillors, I have to leave in 2 minutes, so I'm going to take Councillor Clark in. He had a couple of matters that he wanted to raise, and then he will be taking over, Chair. And Brian, you're coming in at that. Is that all right? Councillor Clark, would you just quickly go through what you need?
Thanks very much, Chair. Just in regards to the Newcastle roundabout proposal, I welcome that proposal and moving forward. The scheme will undoubtedly improve road safety in the Newcastle area. It's the number one issue that people are raising on a continual basis about the safety issues at the roundabout. So the realignment and the Toucan crossings will replace the dangerous zebra crossings. But I suppose a major issue in regards to getting this project or proposal shovel ready is that we have to look at the land belonging to the council and the realignment of the roundabout. So I would propose that the council engages with the road service officials as quickly as possible to get a design agreed among each other. In regards to a couple of brief other issues, Chair, just in regards to tourism areas and hotspots, there's issues, continual issues in regards with cars parking along roads, impacting on rural business, particularly farmers. And I raised this at the DEA clinic. The likes of the Trassy Road, the Bloody Bridge is another issue. The Head Road, Henry Reddy's been talking to that as well, Sean Gordon, Brian Quinn, and other Moore's Council, Jill as well. We'll get this off. But it's about looking at passing bays or opportunities where at least a tractor can pull in or a car can pull in, or a few cars could park alongside of the road. So if we could maybe look at, again, working in partnership with the council, working together, I think we have to put resources in. And if tourism is one of our main priorities, then the resources need to be put in place in regards to managing traffic in these areas of outstanding attribute. These are the areas where people are parking to get into the high morning. So I think we need to look at improving the management in them areas. In regards to, we found a temporary solution in regards to the Tollymore Park up in Brightford, where we've been working in partnership to put cones at busy times, and that's worked well. So I think we need to continually work together in partnership in regards to that. The last point, Chair, is just in regards to there's a frustration in regards to traffic management in Valencia Place and Brightford Gardens in Newcastle. And for people, that's the street directly behind Main Street, where a lot of the residents can't get parked. There's obstructions continually there. There's a service of businesses to the rear of Main Street. And so a number of issues. And people, it's a bit like previous councillors sort of saying that we continually be lobbied on these issues, and we continue to say we're talking to DFI roads officials in regards to improving the situation. We talked about residents parking schemes, we talked about one-way solutions, but nothing ever happens. And that is a frustration that we continually have to go back to people and say, I tried my best, I went to the meeting and asked for it. You know, but I think I've asked for at least 2 occasions at these meetings in regards to a meeting to take place and for a solution to be found, or at least to an opportunity to be found, and they haven't taken place. So, as I say, we need to find a solution. People are actually near physically fighting with each other in regards to trying to get parked. So I would like to see a meeting take place to get this resolved, or opportunity to get it resolved. Thanks, Chair. May I take over? Did you want to come back on any of that? Say more. Or Stephen, though?
Certainly in relation to the Newcastle roundabout issue, where we're delighted to work with council to bring that forward. You know, yes, you've been lobbying for that for some time, and a number of people have been lobbying for that, and we have been trying to consider it again. That money just comes out of our £250,000 budget for local transport and safety measures, and this scheme will have a significant impact, a hole in that budget, which allows us very little then to go on and do other things. So £250,000 in a year doesn't go very far, and that then goes on to the other problems. You know, if you're talking about residence parking has been introduced now in Belfast, and that's being used as a test case to see how it operates, and will feed into policy development for other areas. So residence parking, yes, we're starting to use it in the department, but it hasn't been ruled out. So there's no prospect of residence parking being a solution in Newcastle anywhere in the near future. So we may be necessary to look at minor tweaks and what we can do with regard to parking availability. But again, if you restrict parking there, it applies to residents as well until the residence parking scheme comes in. So it's very difficult to say, yes, we can, you know, we could move the problem somewhere else, but it's very difficult to solve the problem in those situations.
Yeah. It's just, Simon, the evaluation of the residence parking, that's been going on for a considerable period of time. I know it's only been implemented, but I remember getting or lobbying Conor Murphy when he was the minister. So that gives you an idea when I got that response back from him, saying that we are evaluating the Belfast projects. You know, so you can understand my frustration that we're continually evaluating and not implementing.
I just want to come back on that. Residence parking schemes, even in areas where we feel when we go into it that we have unanimous support for it, when we get in there, invariably support isn't there. So I'm not saying it's not here in this case, but I'm just saying it's a hugely difficult type of traffic management system to bring into any location, because you need widespread buy-in from residents, and it's and that's what took the Belfast scheme so long to implement, just trying to get community buy-in. And they were really on for it. Even they hit some stumbling blocks. So it's just not a case. Bringing a residence parking scheme, it'll solve everything. It's much more complex than that.
Okay, thanks. In regards to the tourism areas, can we look at some sort of initiatives where we can take the pressure off these roads?
Yes, absolutely. The Trassie Road and Bloody Bridge, I'm familiar with. The other roads, Trassie Road you mentioned, I'm just not sure the layout there. I would need to speak to my traffic guys there, but happy to have that discussion. Again,
yeah.
not knowing the layouts there, I'm just reluctant to say, to raise an expectation that there's a solution out there to be found, an easy solution out there to be found. But we're happy to have a look at it, yes.
Yeah. It's just the Trassie Road, pick that in particular. Because the area is so popular and the council has provided with a private partner, they've provided additional car parking spaces. You know, you're increasing the amount of traffic coming down that road. It's a very narrow road. You know, so we have to evaluate, the amount of traffic that's coming in. The farmers trying to get about their business, you know, there's competing interests there. So it's something we probably need to talk about, maybe through the DEA, even the Moorings DEA, a number of these schemes could be talked about. Okay, thanks for that. Just, Liam, in regards to the council land that the roundabout Newcastle officers then will be as quickly as possible to get a shovel ready if there is any money coming from Billy.
Okay, sure.
Who's there? Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. The proposal about the roundabout, I had seconded that proposal that I've been aware for some time now the residents having serious issues, both for looking for disabled parking bays and for improving the whole safety in that area. Simon, I would like to thank you very much for the resurfacing work that was done in Ballymartin Village, both on the road and on the footways. But I'm sorry, you're a wee bit premature, it's not finished. There was a wee bit from the entrance of Ballykeel Court to the bus stop that I had mentioned to you on the day we met with Peter Hamilton. and you said you would look at it. It's only a short distance. You have put the curbs in, but you didn't tar the bit. And it's grass, and when young people get off the bus, particularly younger people with smaller feet, they catch in that grass, they could end up under the wheels of the bus. And it's very little tarmac that's required to complete it. Also, the footway that goes from Ballymartin to Kilkeel, there was some mention by some of the oil councillors about waiting for to have footways done. David Ewing first became aware of this part of footway when he was in forward planning for road service, and I think that was 1988 or 1989. So that's how long we've been waiting on that bit of footpath. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 caravan sites along the way where people walk on the road. Now that the local primary schools are being amalgamated onto the St. Columban site, the young people from Ballymartin will mostly do what the young people from the Scrog Road and Kilkeel done and walk to school. They can't because of that small parcel of footpath that's missing in the middle. And I would hate to see some of them taking a chance and walking that bit of road and getting wiped away by a HGV vehicle or a car. So please, if you could look at that again and see if there's any possibility now, because of the school's amalgamation, if anything could be done with it. Thank you.
And he's going to take us?
Yep. Yes, you did speak to me about that small bit to be finished. At that stage, we didn't have the money to finish it, but I'll speak to Ian about that and see whether we can fit it in this year. I'm not sure exactly. We just need to go out and look at the location you're talking about. And again, the footway from Ballymartin to Kilkeel, yes, we again, I keep reverting back to this 200-250k. That's what we have to build footways. That's what we have to put in pedestrian crossings. So it may be a very merited scheme. It just may be competing with other schemes that are higher on the list. But we'll keep it under review.
Thanks, Brad. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Chairman. I apologise to Simon for not being able to meet your staff this morning, but I did meet them last week and had a good discussion with Ian, Enda and John. The head road that Glenn and Willie have referred to, that could be resolved quite easily, you know, from a parking point of view, because there is a couple of landowners up there who are prepared to assist the council and road service to provide parking up there. There's been questions raised about the state of the road between Campbell's Garage and the Woodhouse. Now, I did raise that a while back, and I think there was going to be an investigation done there to see is there any new subsidence. I know that the people who live in that area are getting a bit concerned about it, and maybe we could follow up on that. Just also with the Greencastle Ferry starting to get busy now, it is starting to generate additional traffic. Living close to it, I notice the additional traffic now, and you know, that whole A2 up from Newcastle, you know, it's getting to the point where maybe we could justify spend on it, Simon. And we had a very interesting presentation here from the Scottish consultant who was the mayor of Glasgow whenever they got their city deal in place, and they got 120 million under connectivity for roads and infrastructure development. And if we are successful, if we can get the assembly back running again, I would be very hopeful that, you know, the likes of yourself would be getting involved in that very, very quickly to get that A2 upgraded the whole way up to Restrepo at one point. On a minor work scheme, and maybe it's not that minor, but if you are going from Kilkeel towards the Spelga Dam Hilltown direction, and you want to turn onto the head road, it's very, very difficult. And if you're in a large vehicle, you have to take two or three cuts at it. But there's hugely increased tourist traffic now that want to go up to the head road, want to go to the Silent Valley. And if that corner of that field could be just nicked off and made into a proper turn, it would hugely increase road safety there as well. Just on the cover page that you have here, I thought it would have been Billy Water and Terry Andrews with a thumbs up, given the amount of work that they've got done. But in a serious point, I heard Terry mention about South Armagh, and I agree with him, because I know travellers that go around all the farms, and they tell me that South Armagh and Mourne are the two worst areas in all of Northern Ireland, all of Ireland. So it is bad. But the thing that strikes me, Simon, is if you look at the size of the Eastern Division compared to the Southern, it's a much smaller and easier managed division, because it's got far superior roads to start with. We suffered years of neglect, and we got a far bigger area. And we did have one of the teams out doing pothole filling. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that those boys went absolutely flat out. For civil servants, I said to myself, they are good workers, because I've seen them up at the Ballyardo Crossroads just from where I live. And you know, I'm just wondering, is there any way that the teams that are in the eastern area could be seconded down to Ian to help him out? Because just what Ian's having to put up with there on the roads that we have around here is just unbelievable. It really is. The Cardney Road, Ian did mention last week now that there's going to be sections of it done, and that is really important, because again, Silent Valley, now the third biggest visitor attraction in Northern Ireland, and the amount of cars going up and down that road is incredible, and it just to improve the appearance of the area. But certainly I would like you to look seriously at, is there any way that we can cooperate across? I don't blame Ian or Enda or John, I just blame what we've inherited over the years, and it can't be compared with the Eastern Division, because the condition of the roads and everything is just totally different, as Terry points out. And 8-inch potholes, we've had similar. I was working with a woman today, smashed up her Mercedes car, £300 or £400, and you know, it is very, very frustrating. But thanks very much, and I would thank Ian for meeting me last week. I know it was good of you to take time out of your schedule, and I would like it if we could maybe meet more on the ground, as Terry and his colleagues do up in the Eastern Division. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Reddy. Anybody want to respond?
Just a fact, we've noted those points, and we will take them with all the other queries that come in today and respond on those, Councillor. Certainly the head road parking one again, it's just we'll have a look at that with our traffic teams. And just on the Greencastle Ferry, we are working with the Greencastle Ferry company to improve the signing, sort of from Kilkeel to the ferry and coming from Uri as well. So that's in hand also.
So, thanks, Sam. Councillor Hayland.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thanks for the presentation, Ben. I have to say, I've never heard so many complaints in the Newry area about the condition of the roads, how drastic they are, how much concurred totally with what Councillor Hurley and Councillor Reilly have been saying. I mean, I think we deserve better treatment. Our people pay the same rates, the same tax, the same monies as everybody else. Why are we being treated differently? And it is different. This morning I travelled from with my wife from Newry up the carriageway and into Dromore, and I know Dromore's not part of our district, but from Dromore to Ballinahinch and just outside it on the road to Castlewell, where the local development plan was presented this morning, we didn't come across one single pothole. One single pothole in that whole stretch of maybe 12 miles. Now, you couldn't say that for the Newry, South Armagh area. Couldn't say that, because we are just getting inundated with people phoning us and approaching us in the street and saying, what are you doing? What the hell's going on? Some of us are blaming Storm. I don't know if you can really blame them for it, but there's something badly wrong when the the roads are in such a bad state. And I would just like to know, Simon, could you give us, for instance, a record for the last natural year of the number of claims that have been taken by people over potholes and about damages being done to cars? Is it possible to release that, and is it possible to give the report back how, you know, how many people in our district are making claims or are getting monies as a result, and how many in other parts of the district? Just on the Southern Relief Road, because I don't want to go back over all the points that have already been made, but it'd be very sad that if the full business plan has been put into operation to look at that, that we don't know if we're going to get funding for it or not. And we don't know, is it just going to be a pilot project in the sky? Because I think it's vital for economic and social development for our area. And I would like us to know how much do we think that project will cost, and what's the likelihood of it happening, and how long will it take for it to be, you know, completed? Because I think people need to know it. And during this time of you know, question over Brexit and over the impact that that's going to have on our communities, I don't think you could send out a better or bigger message than say we're going to fund that Southern Relief Road and increase the usage of it for between the two main cities in this island on the eastern coast. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Councillor Hill. Sam.
Okay, start at the bottom, work back up. Southern Relief Road, we secured EU funding for the development of that road, and that was a huge undertaking on our part to get that approval. So, you know, there's a commitment there to complete the development work. We will then have to bid again for the construction element of it. But it's very, very important that we complete the development work properly, thoroughly and fully, because the Newry Southern Reef Road has huge environmental impacts. Or, you know, whatever one of the corridors we choose, and it's very important that we complete that properly. So that's our key focus at this moment in time. So there's, who knows where we'll be with Brexit. I know there's a link into the City Deals project as well, whether money can come that way. So I think there are a number of strands that could lead to this road being constructed. But I think the important bit is that we make sure we do due diligence to make sure we do the procedures properly at this stage that we're in, and identifying the key or the preferred corridor at this stage, which is going to happen in the next few months. I think that's very important for us. So that's the key focus. But again, getting back to the Banlagh Hinch scheme, you know, the Newry Southern Relief Road is, from an engineering point of view, is a significant scheme. We'd love to build it, but again, we'll have to make sure we do proper process. As far as the claims are concerned, yes, I can give you those. We can get those. I don't have those off the top of my head, but I can certainly give you those. We've been quite open on what those are. And just for your information, you know, the number of defects that we picked up in the last, surface defects that we picked up in the last year were around 21,000 for this division. 14,000 of those were picked up in the last quarter, in January to March. So roughly about two thirds were picked up. So that's when the pressure really hit us at that time. I just want to be clear, I'm not saying the roads in South Armagh are in the same condition that the roads in Down are. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, on the money that's available to me, I feel that I am proportioning that money out to try and deal with the roads that need it most, whether they be in South Armagh or whether they be in Down. But I can't move all the money from everywhere into South Armagh. I have to keep a service running right across this division. So I'm not saying that all roads are equal. Please don't. If anybody's picking up and saying that, that's not what I've said. But I am saying that with the money that is available to me, I feel I'm dishing that out as best I can. And these guys argue with me day and daily for more money. So these are the guys I give the money to. So from that point of view, and just another point that I would reiterate, I never handed one penny back to the centre at the end of the year. We spend every penny we get. I don't make any friends back in headquarters by handing any money back. We spend every penny, and every penny was spent last year on the roads. So I can say to you, reiterate that I'm trying to allocate
the money as fairly as possible to the locations that need it most. And I think this road recovery fund is a significant development. And if we can get that going every year, then we can make real inroads into bringing the road network up to the level that we all want it to be.
All right, thanks, Simon. Liam's going to take up the
Yeah, just Chairman, in terms of the funding from the Southern Relief Road, again, it has been a strategic project for the council really from initiation, and as part, we are actually trying to, again, conscious of the A5 and A6 and a number of other strategic projects for transport and transport DFI, as kind of think of the different names, yeah, the TFI, it has been an issue. So in terms of part of the City Deal project, one of the key projects is on the basis of a connectivity, because again, if you know a City Deal is about access to jobs, access to services, and opening up more deprived areas. So the Southern Relief Road is key in terms of that there. So it's part of our key projects in terms of the City Deal projects. Likewise, that there, as part of the Brexit document, we have been lobbying both the UK government and in terms of the Southern government through Brussels, again looking, because there's 10T money has been put into it, and Simon probably can't say that, but where the normal is 10T money put in to do the engineering part of it and the investigation, the normal position would have been with Europe was that money, you would have got money then towards the development of roughly the 40% of the funding for it. So again, an argument we're making is that Theresa May has made a commitment that any European money was lost because of the British decision in terms of Brexit, that we want that money replaced. And again, we're making the argument that the Southern government needs to make an act to Brussels, that money needs to be made available both from the British Exchequer and from Brussels in terms of, and also to, in mitigating the impacts of the border. So I suppose it's a bit of a tandem approach. DFI will have their own position in terms of it's part of their strategic work plan. It's on the plan. What we want to do is to use both City Deal monies, i.e. money from Treasury, direct from Treasury, outside Barnet, and also money from Europe, which ties into the 10T money, to actually make sure that the project happens within the next 10 years.
Okay, thanks, Liam. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. Simon, I'd just like to say thanks for the useful meeting with yourself and your team this afternoon. I found it very useful. I'd like to say I appreciate you looking at a pedestrian crossing on Killalea Street and Crossgar, and for looking into the extension of 30 mile per hour zones on Derryboy Road and Kilmore Bridge. And like my colleague, Councillor Walker, I do want to see a move on the A7 upgrade, and would love to see the Ballines bypass being started very soon. So appreciate all you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And thanks, Simon, for the report. And I welcome aspects of it, but there are a lot of problems. I welcome the CBU, Warren Point Resurfacing, the stretch that you're doing there. And we had a discussion about this afternoon. I think it should be done immediately. The reason it's not being done straight off is because we're coming into the summertime, tourists travelling along the road, and so on. But the inconvenience of closing that off and tackling it and doing it in 2 or 3 days, all of those travelling tourists would really appreciate it, because it's very difficult to get over at the moment. So I don't think we should be putting these things off, saying we can't do them during the summer. I'm not sure it should stop us. Just on the Southern Relief Road, and I welcome the developments there as well. Liam talks about, you know, trying very hard to get it done over the next 10 years. It really should be done quicker. I think it's progressing, but it's progressing much too slow. And I've said at some of our Southern Relief meetings that, you know, if you go across to Spain or Portugal on a regular basis, don't go for a couple of years. By the time you get over there, there'll be another brand new big autobahn, big road down through the Costa del Sol, another tunnel, another bridge. It's no problem for them. But we have been at this for guts of 10 years already, and now we're talking about another 10 years. I'm just asking that we keep the pressure on it. I know we don't have the assembly to put the pressure on there, but I think it is critically important, particularly when we're staring into Brexit and don't know what's going to happen after that. I think just on the potholes, and I happen to agree, driving from Warren Point to St. Patrick here every week, I can see that it made the point today. It was explained to me that couple of years ago people were saying the reverse of that, but it's not my experience. Driving from Warren Point, get as far as Hilltown, Kilcoy, the roads are an absolute disaster. Real dangerous. I mean, people are swerving over to the other side of the road to miss them now. And yet, you get to Castlebank the rest of the way here, you don't come across one. So there's a definite, distinct difference between what's happening in the old Miriam Warren and the old town districts. The new amount of money in there, the $15 million, is welcome. And I think it's the right way to be going about it when you're talking about doing these stretches. But $15 million, I see somewhere that the value of our road network is something like $35 billion. So this extra $15 million that we're getting, it's like owning a house of £200,000 and putting another £85 a year into looking after. So it is pittance, really, when you look at the greater picture. I know that's not, you're trying to get as much as you can over here, but, you know, I think this meeting maybe highlights the need, and maybe there should be a cry from this meeting to get our Stormont up and running again. So we need it, and we need to be able to draw down the right amounts of finances into the different categories. But I think the $15 million won't be long gone, and but we do welcome it. The other 2 points I briefly wanted to make, and I made them today, and I will be following up with the people we talked about. But the development control, for example, where you are feeding into major planning applications, I have a major issue. I have witnessed where major planning decisions are decided upon the personal, maybe personal professional opinion of individuals who aren't prepared to come to a meeting and say why they reached that decision, or aren't prepared to come to a meeting and say why it's outside the standards, but I think it'll be all right. I'm going along, you know, a half an A4 page saying, I've had a look at it, I think it'll be all right for X number of houses. It's not good enough. And planning is now under the domain of this council, and I think that there will be repercussions before very long unless we get a good handle on that. And just finally, again, reporting the fault system, it's a very good system to report a fault, no question about it. You can hone right in to the exact pole with a light on it, or where the pothole is, or where the drain is. You get an email back saying that it's been noted, and that's the end of it. You never know where it's fixed. And I think that needs to be taken seriously and fed back. Because, and I'm delighted for Councillor Walker that he's getting such a good response up here, and the officials come out and take a look at the problems. I can't get talking to Nye. It is not possible. Doesn't matter what you do, you can go through, you can ask, direct NI to put you through, whatever, it will not happen. They won't allow it. So it shows you the differences that there are across different divisions and so on. But I think that could be, you know, if it's a problem of personnel or people or whatever, that certainly could be helped if we replied to the problems when they were reported online. Right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Carr. Anybody want to pick that up? General.
Well, they're mostly general. I mean, again, saying the $15 million is too small. $75 million is 3 times more than we got last year. And from that point of view, it's a huge increase for us. And
because we didn't spend anything for 2 years.
And that's why I think I said earlier that, you know, from my point of view, you know, if we were to get this year on year, then we were able to build some structure into the road network, and we can improve the roads across all areas. So that's a huge thing. I'm not sure to what you refer in relation to the development control issue. If you want to speak to me afterwards, I'm happy to take that on board. In relation to report of fault, we are trying to continually develop that, and we're looking at the possibility of, if the information's in there and once the light's fixed, that the person who notifies us can be then automatically notified that it's completed. We are trying to develop that system and take it forward. So that will always be, we're trying to progress that continually.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to apologise that I couldn't make the clinic
this afternoon, so I'm not sort of dwelling on some of the points that you make to your points. Would it be possible, though, to maybe forward on yourself, Mr. Duffy, I guess, surmise of some issues? Would that be okay? That's great. Thank you very much. Okay, so three points, really. Mr. Richardson, you mentioned about engineering and your love for engineering and all the rest of it. Would it be possible to get some engineering done on the Carnray Road in Slieve Croob? It's very susceptible to flooding consistently, and I'm sure some of my other colleagues will pass that on as well. So that's one issue. Another issue is the Seaford. You know, we have to park in at the Young Farmers there to see the speed limit being, well, the 40 speed limit is probably too much given the development around the area, and certainly not many people adhere to it. So perhaps maybe there'd be reason to lower it to 30. So I was just wondering what's the scope for that. And also just a general point really, maybe the council maybe could follow this up regarding potholes, not only for motorists but also cyclists. You know, we want to turn Mary Morning down into the outdoor capital of Ireland, if you will, and we've benefited from a lot of sportifs and a zero legacy, and we want to develop our own. So it might be worth in future as well just to work with council on those routes that are popular with cyclists, again, to keep the surfaces good and also engender tourism on that regard. So thank you very much.
Okay. In relation to Carnray Road, where Stephen has people working on that, we're just trying to design a possible solution for the flooding problem up there. It's not an easy solution, but we are working on that. The enforcement speed limits obviously is a PSNI issue. You know, people aren't adhering to the yes, but if there's a 40 mile an hour there and you're saying they're not adhering to that, what's the chance of them adhering to a 30 mile an hour? And that's our experience. You know, a speed limit has to be reasonable for the area, and just by lowering it doesn't necessarily mean people slow down. It's the environment around. So I mean, again, I'm not saying no to it. If the issue was enforcement, then that's PSN.
But what's the limit for the change from
the 40 to the 30? We would do an assessment of it. Yeah, I mean, is that what you're asking for? An assessment of the speed limit? We can do that. But again, not trying to give false hope. You know, we do speed limit does have to be proportionate for the environment that it's in. I'm just simply reducing the speed limit to try and get people to slow down doesn't always work. It's a more holistic approach to assessing it. Potholes for cyclists, again, going back to what I said earlier, we were under instruction from our headquarters to fix potholes and particularly in rural roads, only potholes that are over 4 inches deep. And I said at the start, when I was talking to Councillor Hardy, we were criticised for walking past potholes that are 3 inches deep. Now, if you're on a bicycle and you hit a pothole that's 3 inches deep, you know, it's not pleasant. So a significant improvement from where we've moved to from last year to this year is we've gone from 4 to 2. And I do think that in itself is a significant move for us in our maintenance standards. So hopefully that will work itself out through to improve the road network along with this road recovery fund.
Councillor McIntyre.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And I must say, I have listened to Councillor McMurray extolling the possibilities of the outdoor pursuits capital of Ireland. Pothole snorkeling definitely comes to mind. But anyway, yes, sorry, I need to say this, and you know, a lot of sentiments from started by Councillor Hurley has definitely come before here, and like the same what people are saying, I never seen a year like it in terms of, you know, people coming here in total despair about the roads. And we as councillors, and I'm sure you probably suffered, you know, the same exhaustion in terms of trying to keep up with it, and you virtually end up giving up. But you know, and I'm really recounting what people are saying. People are really seriously saying that wherever the person is employed to do the white line around the potholes, do they really need to be employed anymore? That's what they were saying. Because they said, look, they put the white line down, and the white line is disappearing into the pothole. after so many weeks, you know, and that is the level of despair there was out there with people. So, but I'm always a person of hope. I look on the bright side. So maybe you will get back, you know, you will get back on track again, hopefully, because it's one thing we all need is reasonably good roads. We don't get perfect roads, reasonably good roads. But I'm going to go just through some parts of your report, and thank you very much for it, Simon, indeed. I'm starting out just at page 15. It talks about the 1 pound dual carriageway and the 15,000 square metre carriageway upgrade, which we welcome as well onto that, come out of that budget. But I just had an email this evening or text from a resident who lives right on the carriageway, and he asked me to raise the fact that the old one point to Newry, especially the 1 point to Newry side, is that has never been done in 45 years. They live along it, and he said the noise, he says 3,500 HDBs per day using it, and he said the patching is an absolute mess. The traffic noise is excessive, and the man pleads with me to get someone to come look at it and listen to the noise as well. So maybe you take that on board. But I don't know if that figure is right in terms of 45 years that since it has been completely done, because the stretch that you did is absolutely excellent, you know, down to the quarry. But I'm going with the opposite there, where it's the outside of it. So I plead with you to take that on board. That's on page 15. Page 18, you talked about surface dress, and I'm just reading about it, that surface dressing was to protect the road from, you know, further erosion. But I know, and I mentioned this morning in the Upper Bourne Road, I don't know what time is here or not, Upper Bourne Road, which you said we were doing some work on. You said that was surface dressed last year, U6193. But that road has totally disintegrated. So I wonder what was wrong. So there's something wrong with the type of work that was done. There's vast parts of that road completely broken down with numerous additional potholes, very deep ones coming in. So the resurface, in my opinion, maybe hasn't worked. It may never have been done. That's page 18. Page 54, some alarm about the introduction of a 30 mile an hour speed limit on the old Warren Point Road. Probably councillors and Newry councillors met over the years in that. And I do have, I suppose, welcomed with some degree the introduction there of the crossover points and the islands on the road, albeit there's one particular one at the Cars Garage, which I asked about this morning and the meeting this morning, and the people who own the property on the Cars site they're not happy about the way that they were treated in terms of the department's response to them when they raised concerns about their future entry into that. You know, so I think they need a lot of work needs to be done on that. But I must say that yes, a lot of residents of that area have approached me and said they don't want a 30 mile an hour sign. And I got an assurance from Kieran that they wouldn't maybe introduce it yet, but see how the calming works. But I see it's down here in your report that the 30 mile an hour is being applied. Of course, even the police at a stage didn't want to introduce that, saying at a council meeting that it's only going to result in local people racking up fines and points, you know. So maybe just stall that one and see how it works out. Page 58, a question on the adoption of the city in Forest Hills, Newry are adopted. Could I just ask, are all the roads in Forest Hills adopted? Or I know they were progressing through them, but I was unsure whether all done or not. So maybe you can answer that one. Page 62, I must say, I welcome the LED lighting. I think they are a great, apart from the economics of it, I do think they look much better in the townscapes. And you have Warren Point, for example, where they've been put in there. They look exceptionally well, and it enhances the whole area, so welcome those. Could I draw your attention to maybe something I didn't miss this morning, which is a repainting of the on-road warnings on the approach to Valley Hole and Primary School here. The on-road painting. There was painting there on the road warning of the school to repaint that. And I also welcome the fact that the 10 centimetre pothole has been reduced in terms of your ability to address it now to 50 millimetres. I'm just going to ask you, when can we expect that the catch up really to take place. But it's very interesting to know how that was able to be changed. But I was told previously that the 10 centimetre one was something that went through the assembly and was agreed by everybody on Sunday. And I wonder how this suddenly changed, because there is no assembly, and suddenly we are able to take it down to 50. It's interesting from the political point to know how that happened. I'm going to ask, is there a realistic chance of the potholes that are currently, blight on the whole area, is there a realistic chance of them being completed and filled by this winter? So, the other couple of points you had, people are referring here to the east-west divide in this area, and we know, there were definitely different operational procedures in place. And I said this morning, what I noticed when I came over here, large stretches of roads were patched, and in our areas they weren't. So could I ask you, have you got figures for the amount spent in meters and the amount of money spent on the two areas? It may be fine, but it would be a very interesting figure to peruse over to the two areas. And Ian, I would like to ask you, are you happy enough, or is the operational happy enough that you have total recourse to an up-to-date patching team within your Newry office? You are, because I'm told that it's antiquated machinery, and do you have first call at that? Can you look out through the window and send that vehicle immediately out to somewhere where you would like to send them to, or do you have to go through a process that isn't easily managed, or it's not easily worked, it's not a fast reaction? Because I'm told that the system that's in place isn't very workable. I think that's it. Thank you.
Enough to get more. Thanks, Councillor Mackay.
A21 point to Newry Road. Yeah, we did the Warren Point direction last year. There's no trunk road funding for the other side this year. We bid for money this year and we got some, but it was allocated to other areas. We didn't get enough. We will continue to bid for that. We are aware of that side of the carriageway, and as soon as the money becomes available, we'll program it.
So would the 45 years be accurate before we need it?
I have no idea.
Maybe a good weapon in your argument if you're going looking for money.
Well,
as it is.
Okay. The Upper Burn Road in relation to surface dressing, we'd certainly have a look at that. If that was a surface dressing failure, we'll have to have a look at that and see. In relation to the 30 mile an hour speed limit sign in the old Warren Point Road, it's, on one hand I'm getting requests for 40 to 30, and then when we do it, so it's getting back to this residence parking issue. And when you bring in schemes, I guess you don't get universal buy-in. And I certainly have had calls since I come here for a 30 miles an hour speed limit on the old Warren Point Road, and I'm surprised to hear that you don't want it.
Yeah, and I'm only going to the meetings that you held with us.
Yeah.
And there was the Crotley side of the council area.
They wanted it?
Didn't want it. Right. The Newry people, because it's the Newry side, you could tell to the Newry, they did want it.
So we'll count someone.
I can't
please everybody.
But I'm just saying, yes, who didn't listen to
that? That's Simon Fellish, and I'll let you.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to believe it.
Fort Hills will check in relation to the adoption of it all. You'd ask the report in Fort Hills, wouldn't it?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. LED lighting, we're progressing with it. It's excellent work particularly in relation to the maintenance that reduces maintenance. Yeah. The pothole issue again, and the question that you asked Ian in relation to what he has available to him. And as I said at the start of this presentation, we are totally reliant on our internal contractor. We didn't have external contractor available to us last year. So what equipment and what staff are in the Newry office is what is available to Ian. There's absolutely no doubt. I mean, the voluntary exit scheme across the whole of the civil service has reduced the number of staff that we have available to us. So last year, external contractors were taken off us, and we have less staff. So there's an absolute obvious impact of that, and I haven't hidden behind anything here. The amount of staff that we have available in the Newry area because of reduced contractors and VES is significantly reduced. The equipment Some of the equipment that we used is very old and needs replaced. There's no question about that either. So, with the resources that are available to us coming out of the Newry Depot and other depots, Castle and Avon as well, we make the best use of what we have. I have never said we have had everything. You know, some of the defects weren't repaired, even though we're saying we're going to repair defects over 4 inches deep. And again, I take fully Councillor Hardy's point that some of the defects in South Armagh were not fixed. He's absolutely right. Because of the resources that were available to us. But the point I'm making is, out of 21,000 defects that were taken in last year, 2/3 of those were in the 3-month period, and we had no recourse to an external contractor. We missed potholes during that time, absolutely no doubt about that. And that's why I'm saying this is such a significant move for us, to reduce it to 2 inches, and also have external contractors to support our reducing internal resource. And I can't make it any clearer than that. I'm not trying to hide behind anything, and I'm not trying to say that Councillor Hardy is wrong. He's not wrong. But what I'm saying is that I'm trying to put the resources, the financial resources that I have, I'm trying to apportion as best as I can.
Okay.
I think
the figures east west.
All right. Thanks for that, Sam. Councillor Savage?
Could he get those, yeah? Didn't answer.
Sorry.
I'm going to get those, yeah.
All right. Sam, I think we'll start off with a bit of a positive note. Welcome to the conversations this morning. We've quite a bit to get through, and there's a couple of bits and pieces I missed out because, as Davey said, the roads have been in a very poor state around Newry. I think we've got to recognise as well the high volume of traffic that Newry would take on its roads by comparison to other areas, and also the terrain and the fact we're in hills and water rolling down hills and everything else over the winter. I know the impact that it had, particularly up along the Greater Dublin Road area and out into the Killian area. And I welcome the planned repairs over the coming weeks for resurfacing on the Glen Hill, the cottage over in Killian, which has been atrocious, and Talbot Street, which they're all in very bad state of repair. And I welcome those, along with the pothole patching plan for Pound Road and Heslip's Lane. The other one I would welcome to would be, what I would look at, it was one thing you raised this morning, was the bend at Clog Heights. It is a bit of a patchwork quilt. I've raised this before, just at the bend up into the back end. While it doesn't have significant depth, some of the potholes in it, it has been patched up many times. When the water runs down the hill in the winter time, and if there's no grit in the area, it becomes a sort of a skidding match down the hill towards the crash barrier that was put up there in recent months, or recent years, sorry. So if that could have been looked at as well. In relation to I'm heartened to hear that the 1 kilometre stretch of the Meath Road Fathom Line is going to be dealt with, and I do appreciate that it'll probably be the autumn given the tourist season coming our way. What I would be concerned about, and this would touch on some of the issues raised by Andrew in relation to the cyclists, that would be a very popular cyclist route down to Carringford and Green Ore. And I would be just hopeful that there would be sort of remedial repairs carried out on the safety, for basic safety levels there over the summer months until such times as the main scheme, resurfacing scheme, can take place. On the wider scheme of things, I do want to pay tribute to the way that the one-way system has worked in Barcroft, and I want to congratulate you on that this morning. I think it's been a very worthwhile scheme, and the residents seem very happy with it up there. It has eased a lot of potential friction in that area. It seems to be working well, and I hope that it continues to do so. The other issue, and I welcome the fact that the park and ride is well underway and near completion in out of Cheap Bridge. The other park and ride where I do have big concerns is a clog. I did raise this at the last spatial meeting with TransLink, in that it's just not big enough. There's a huge overspill, particularly of people parking and, you know, van sharing or whatever, going to Dublin in the mornings. Flagstaff Road, Carrick Maclone, the Upper Dublin Road around Clog Chapel. We have huge complaints coming in from residents there. Some of them can't get in and out in the mornings. There's a huge congestion level of parking in that area. I would like to see some sort of work developed with TransLink to take that forward. Mark Moran raised the issue about the flashing lights and flashing speed limits. I did raise this before. I'm deeply concerned
based purely on the fact that there was a fantastic resurfacing job done on Chancellor's Road along by Clog School. And I believe that there's something needed to be put in place there. With residents coming out of Dunbrae, Glenveagh, Ravens Glen and Ashton Heights, deeply concerned at the speed at which people are coming along there. Now, whether that becomes an enforcement issue, I believe that even during the hours of school peak times, if we could have had something there. I know that I did raise a PCSP meeting about getting the flashing tracker speed signs up there for a temporary basis, and I would hope that if they did work and did show that things to be slowing down, that we could maybe look at something of a more permanent fixture there. It's a very straight stretch of the road. There are plans for more housing on the other side of the road, and I would be deeply concerned that, you know, with more congestion now, that if we don't address that now, and there are very young school children at the primary school in that area. It was a similar situation with Mike Primary School as well, with the speeds of traffic. That was to be looked at, and I haven't really had any feedback on those. The queuing times in relation to the Armagh Road, there is a 1.5 mile tailback at peak times from the Five Ways roundabout right down into Canal Street where it meets the lights. And I'm wondering, is there a sequencing issue there in relation to being able to alleviate that, because you have all the schools in that area. There's a big shopping complex at the Five Ways and across at the Molly area. I did raise the last day we spoke about the potential to take a slipway out from the Molly at the Little end, given the fact that everything is choked based, and that's one of the most popular shopping areas of the city. And there's one entrance, one exit, and I think that if we could try to work with the owners there, whatever, to try and look at another slipway coming in or out of it, feeding onto the Five Ways roundabout, it might alleviate things there. I know it's not an easy engineering feat, but I think it's something we'll have to look at medium to long term. And just on the Southern Relief Road element of it, I do want to compliment the road service staff. Simon put at my disposal there recently to have a very positive meeting with the residents on the Fathom side of the Relief Road. But there are serious issues that need to be addressed there. It's not going to be an easy project. I've had a number of conversations recently. There's been one that's come from representatives of the business community in Newry in relation to the NEA report in relation to the rising bridge in the area, in relation to allowing access for tall ships, given that most of the tall ships that currently come in there are over 12 metres in height. And I think there would be a need for some sort of conversation with, I think it was Conor Patterson who contacted me, to contact people like him to try and allay fears around that. The other issue that was raised, and I raised it again this morning, was that the biggest fear in the Fathom Line area in relation to the new road, regardless of what the route is the noise pollution in the area. And the big problem we have is that you have people in a similar parish who live along where I do, up around Clog, where there had been discussions in relation to sound barriers along the A1. And I know, because I live, my bedroom window is right overlooking the railway line and the A1, and the noise from it at times is catastrophic. There was information given to me that there are hotspots along that area with a decibel level is above 70 on a number of occasions. I'm led to believe that the decibel level for UK standards is 68 or 67. EU, it's 55. And I would like to see if some work can be done to explore the possibility of sound barriers. We can take one.
Number 74.
No, but just on that issue, there were representations made to residents in that area by a surveyor type company in England that were it was supposed to come back to Donnie Kennedy's time as minister. It's come back a considerable number of years in relation to trying to address those concerns and try and compensate residents in the area. It was gone nowhere, it's fallen in deaf ears. But what I'd be worried about would be, because those people live in the same community within the same parish as those that live on Fathom, and they circulate and socialise together, that one of the big issues that was thrown up during the conversations we had with the collective Southern Relief Road group was that how can we have assurances about noise pollution when there's a gaping hole in the noise pollution strategy in relation to the last major infrastructure project, which was the A1. Now, that's a stretch that runs from Ravens Glen right to Carrickmacloone, where there is nothing of a sound barrier across there. And since I've been there the last 14 years, it's just got steadily and steadily worse with the high volume of traffic that's there. So I would like to see if the strategic team or somebody could take that on board going forward and take cognizance of it, because I think it's something that will come up and will be cropped up in the conversations relating to Southern Relief Road. But I'm appreciative of the time you give to us today, and I appreciate the efforts that are going to happen over the next number of weeks to resolve some of the issues. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Clog Heights, the Ben at Clog Heights, Ian has got that on his list here. We'll have a look at that. Defects in Fallon Lane, any defects, actionable defects that arise before we resurface, we will fix as and when they arise. Barcroft, yes, glad it's Barcroft Park, the one way, I'm glad it's working well. Sheetbridge one has been extended. The clog one, just shoot myself in the foot here, but it's not a TransLink issue. It's a Park and Shore site. I don't think TransLink service that. TransLink don't service that site with the bus. So it wouldn't be a TransLink issue. So it is an issue for us.
Yes.
If there's any expansion. Now that location at that point, you know, with the rock and whatever there, you know, it will be a very difficult location to expand. And it may be, you know, and again, the expansion at Sheetbridge may help, you know, to give other people another option there. But it's just for your own information, it won't be a TransLink issue because they don't service that site. It's a roads issue.
Just the point that I think is predominantly Dublin bound traffic that's causing the problem there. It's tradespeople. It's because it's van sharing and that's causing the problem.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that Sheetbridge will relieve it.
Okay.
But it's just becoming a big headache for local residents in that area. Even if there's a possibility of a site meeting to see, have a look at it someday to see.
Okay. Again, revert back to my previous call about the flashing speed limits. I'm not aware of any proposals to bring that forward here, but continue to monitor that process. I'll pass on the request about the phasing of the lights coming down Canal Street and the impact that that's having. Yes, there was discussion about a second entrance into the Demolly site off the Turnbean Road. And from what I looked at that, it looked like a reasonable proposal.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of different. That's a protected route, so you're not additional accesses onto that route should not be permitted. So we'd have to get around that. Whether we could demonstrate that the benefit would outweigh any negatives that there would of accessing onto a protected route. So we'll need to look at that. And the Newry Southern Relief Road, as I've said time and time again, we have to make sure that we do our processes correctly. And even to the point where you're speaking to me and saying we need to consider an opening bridge, I can't have that conversation with you now because the preferred route has not yet been identified. But what I will say to you, when the preferred corridor is identified, then that's exactly when we have to have that, and I fully accept that. But I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves and bypass any procedure, because that will knock us back potentially years. I think
sound
that was
barriers.
It. Sorry?
Sound barriers.
Well, the sound barriers in relation to the work that we do on the Newry Southern Relief Road, and all environmental issues will have to be considered. What you're asking me is, will we revert back to the old scheme?
A1.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what you're saying. You know, will the consequence of the Newry Southern Relief Road, whatever measures we take there, how will that impact onto the A1? I would need to revisit and see what promises or offers were made at that time, and were they fulfilled or not.
The point I was making is that this issue's been raised for many years, and it doesn't appear to fall on deaf ears within the department. And it is a big problem because it will potentially devalue people's houses. So some of them have bought houses at the height of the boom, and they go to look at it, and you know, people can sit, stand out in their garden. We were in our gardens last night, and just like stand in the middle of an island in a dual carriageway. That's how noisy the traffic is. So it's not just me. There's 20, 30 households right along there that are having the same problem, and they're coming to me as a councillor because they know I'm in the same boat and expect me to make representations. So if there's something that could be done to look at what could be done with some remedial, even the wooden sound barriers that are over, because you see loads of them in the south in particular along the M1.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. I just want to just like to take the opportunity of thanking Senator Mike, thanks Stephen, Hugh, Joe and the staff from Down Saxon for their hard work over the past year. And despite budgetary constraints, and they've helped in delivering schemes and roadworks to the best of their ability. Again, very much appreciate it. I've left you in a long list, we'll keep you busy no doubt for the coming year, but I've got to miss a couple of wee pointers earlier on today. I'm sure you'll be sick of me by the time it's all over. In relation to, I know there was an issue on residents, I know Councillor Kirkley brought up the issue on residents, but I had residents in the Rector Kelly rap me about getting a parking permit for outside the front door. I know there's schemes they got in England, and is there anything that the department has lined up for the provision of same? And also, I remember I worked in road service over, I remember 30 years ago in Seaford, in the old cross car section office, we had over 120 industrial grades who done a wide range of work right across the roads, from verge maintenance outlets and gully emptying and everything. And I'm just wondering, they've done an excellent job, and it's a wonder that the department doesn't consider bringing back the industrial grades and put them at the forefront again, because I know a lot of boys have worked in road service as a road worker one, road worker two, it's just for me age, and they've done a brilliant job, and I think maybe it'd be a great asset if that was considered if they were introduced again. Thank you.
Okay, thanks,
Councillor. Just a quick come back on the residence parking again. Residence parking, and we've only one scheme in Belfast. The rollout of that in this division has not yet been considered. You know, we have many requests from the likes of Bangor and Uri in this area as well. So I wouldn't think Killyleagh would be high on the priority list for us to try going forward. And the only thing I can say in relation to the other thing is, oh, to have 120 industrials now would be fabulous.
Councillor Hannah, is it?
Aye, Jerry. We'd love to see him the last one. A few things, sir. I live in Ballymartin. I very much welcome there what's been done in Ballymartin. A few wee issues. Brian mentioned one of them, sir, that there's two people in Ballymartin had their properties damaged, so they did there whenever the roadworks were done. Somebody, John McVeigh, did get somebody out to look at it there. They're still looking to get them repaired, so they are. Would there be any possibilities, McAtee's and there's Adair's, both, you should know about them there, because they did cause, the contractor caused damage on them. But other than that, Ballymartin's a great job. The other issue, Rooney Road. Now, I've asked to speak to Ian different times, but he never returned my calls, Ian. I must be a very lowly councillor in near Ian Moore, so I must. Henry seems to have unfettered access to you. Henry, is everybody told that the Rooney Road's starting in 2 weeks? Is that correct? could you give us any indication of when you're hoping to start that project? No, if I don't ask the questions, I don't find out.
Yeah,
have you any indication of when the Rooney Road, because it's the main artery into the Kilkeel Harbour, when you
start to ask your questions?
The other thing, just you mentioned Wally on the Head Road. The Head Road is really a problem, so it is with whenever people's up the mountains or they park the cars everywhere. There is farmers there prepared to give up land. I did contact the director here, said that, and she said it's really your problem. It's the road service's problem, because
we'll maybe pick that up. We'll we'll look at that maybe together.
The other issue, the minor roads now, I know that the Ballykeel Road just outside Ballymartin, you're doing a nice bit of work there now, so sorry, it's very welcome. There's other minor roads, approximately about a quarter of a mile from the Head Road. All them roads come up to the Head Road that seem to have substantial damage to the Dino just over the winter. Really bad damage across the whole width of the road. Have you any idea when some of them would be done? There's another road that goes from the Cardney Road across to Brackney School, the Church Road. it's really bad too. I didn't see it on the list here, so it would need quite a bit of work done to it as well. And the other one other issue there, and John Quinnish, or John McVeigh assured me there it was going to be done. With BER Space, Rockwell Collins and Kilkeel, whenever they're actually, especially whenever they're getting out of work, there's a massive problem with traffic, especially for the housing estate called Riverside Park. The people coming from the Newcastle side trying to turn right until it, the traffic's so much backed that they can't get turned up into it. So whenever they can get turned up into their park, turn right into it, the traffic then backs up through the traffic lights all the way out the road. John said there that we're going to put a yellow box there, to leave it. It has to be kept clear. Is there any possibility that could be done as soon as possible as well? And other than that, that's pretty much all I have to ask about. Thanks.
Sam?
Okay. Ballymartin, the damage that was done, we'll get Ian to look at that and deal with the contractor. Rooney Road Programme, we're just waiting on, it's the same contractor we use for all these schemes, so we'll have to programme that when he comes off one scheme onto another. Again, it's committed to be done this year. Ian says it'll not be done in the next 2 weeks, but we'll get it done as and when we can, but it is committed to be done. The head road we take with Councillor Clark's work. Church Road that you mentioned is actually, we're going to do some work on it. It's part of this roads recovery fund, and that's why I'm saying that those roads would never have been done without this roads recovery fund. So I think once we get that and see what's done, then it takes us forward. Riverside Park, yellow box, that will be a traffic issue, so we'll take that on our list and see if we can get our traffic people to look at that.
Okay, there's not many left. But I'd like to thank Stephen and Simon and Ian. And if you bring back, all of our thanks to all the staff. I know it's a frustrating issue in regards to particularly rural roads, the issues. And I think I found out when the Ballymartin work was taking place, I never seen roads like it once you went off the main road. They're really bad roads as well. Throughout the whole district and our own area, and local councillors know only too well, and my side of the Mourns area, and Sleeve Croob and places like that, once you go off the main roads, it's really bad roads as well. So it's a lack of resources is what it's about. We haven't got enough resources to maintain the roads, and I'm sure all the staff and DFI roads would like to repair all the roads, so I don't think they're holding back. But thanks very much, guys, for everything. Thanks.